Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 19, talks about our planet's last day millennials, us. Words that cannot be misunderstood in terms of our lukewarm Laodicean condition in today's world. Now, reading in the King James Version, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Millennials, born in today's stormy culture since the year 2000, are immersed in Battlestar Galactica. Of more than 75 million American millennials, those born around the year 2000 and later, only 4% have a biblical worldview. So says the well-respected pollster, George Barna. Now, Barna says that 96% of millennials today have no biblical worldview. They're basically agnostic, 96%. And he says that's not good news looking down the road. Barna describes millennials as one of the most spiritually challenging and difficult generations to reach adulthood in the past century. Barna says today's millennials are raising a new set of challenges to Christianity and to a nation whose morals and values have long reflected biblical principles. Today's young people, when asked questions that would identify their connection to a biblical worldview, only 1 in 25 millennials came up with answers that put them in the biblical worldview category. The younger set, Barna says, is trending in the wrong direction. Quote, "By and large, they are not inclined to move toward Christianity." Wow. But it gets worse. Continuing. "They're less likely to describe themselves as Christians. They're less likely to embrace Christ as their Savior. They're more likely to say that they have no kind of faith connection whatsoever." Now, back in Bible times, the city of Laodicea was very much like, well, today's millennial culture. Almost identical in some ways. Laodicea was about 45 miles southeast of Philadelphia and 90 miles east of Ephesus. It was known for its wealth, skyrocketing New York Wall Street stock market, social media, internet, famous medical school like Loma Linda University and Mayo Clinic, and a lukewarm water supply. And the Apostle John, looking down the stream of time to our days, says, "Laodicea represents the lukewarm condition of the church in today's millennial world." According to George Barna, millennials are living out worldviews that have no moral anchor in a stormy culture. None. In fact, we even have a new dictionary buzzword, cancel culture. We don't want history. We don't want our past to define who we are or our morals. Barna says millennials are much more accepting of lying. They're more accepting of cheating. They're more accepting of abortion and divorce and stealing and pornography. He explains that the church is ill-equipped to help. He points out, and I quote, only about a third of born-again Christians in America actually have a biblical worldview. And that indicates that churches may partly be struggling because they tend to rely on born-again adults as the backbone of the church. Are you listening? According to Barna, and Catholics and Adventists actually, the worldview you have at the age of 13 is essentially the worldview that you die with. And since we, the parents of millennials, may not be any more biblical in our worldview than our kids, wow. Meaningful biblical conversations with millennials may well have to fall back on our grandparents, most of whom are dead and dying off, further decreasing the transmission of a biblical worldview to millennials. Now, what is so alarming, according to Barna, is this, and I'm quoting, because 24 of every 25 millennials lack a biblical worldview today, the probability of them transmitting such to their children is extremely low. You cannot give what you don't have. In other words, if today's children are going to eventually embrace a biblical worldview, people with such a perspective must exert substantial influence on the nation's children to supply what their parents are unable to give them. Ouch. And to add to the problem, roughly a third, 32% of adults of grandparent age, 50 or older, possess a biblical worldview. So, are you listening? Chances of transmitting a biblical worldview to future generations are seriously diminished and virtually impossible. So what do we do as Christians here in the 2020s and 2030s? You know, the Bible warned that if we sow the wind, we'll reap the whirlwind. And here we are today. Even evangelist Billy Graham lamented that evangelical preachers have preached cheap grace for generations. No law. Just believe. No, Billy Graham warned. When a person is born again, we should be preaching that Jesus is now also Lord of your life. That means he's boss. Billy Graham said Jesus came to make the Ten Commandments tougher than ever to keep. Barna says the light esteem by which the law of God is held by religious leaders today has been productive of great evil. Tame, timid teachings of evangelicals for the last 100 years has become so widespread that the divine statutes are no longer binding upon men. It's idolatry in its effect upon the morals of the people. To lessen the claims of God's holy law strikes directly at the foundation of governments, of families, of nations. Religious parents failing to walk in God's statutes do not command their household to keep the way of the Lord. The law of God is not made the rule of life. The children, as they make homes of their own, feel under absolutely no obligation to teach their children what they themselves have never been taught. Are you listening? These are sober, solemn, sad, shocking statistics of George Barna. Well, talk about a stormy culture. This is why there's so many godless families. This is why depravity is so deep and widespread. What's God's solution? What hope does Jesus, the witness here in Revelation chapter 3, hold out to millennials in our stormy culture? The generations of kids and grandkids and great-grandkids who in Revelation 3, 16 to 17 are biblically lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Two critical verses for end time millennials scream out here in Revelation 3:18-19. Simple, but profound. God's spiritual RX. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. You're like lukewarm 7-Up. Laodicea. Yuck. Lukewarm water is usually disappointing, even repulsive. But the Bible says, this is you. This is me. We think we have need of nothing, but monetary wealth, Laodicea, is associated with spiritual poverty. Rich people don't feel their need. Self-deception is the natural human condition. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10, puts his finger on the diagnosis. Listen carefully. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. You think you're safe because you're Bill Gates and hit the jackpot with the stock market? With your investment portfolios and retirement IRAs, and stocks and bonds? No. Jesus says you are spiritually bankrupt. You're poor, beggars, on welfare. So verse 18, buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. Not Bitcoin or ingots from New York Stock Exchange. God's gold. Faith. That biblical worldview you millennials don't have. Gold. Oh, and white garments. Cover your spiritual nakedness with Christ's perfect robe of righteousness. And eye salve. So Laodicea can see her own lack of authenticity. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Friend, God's love is the only answer. God's love is the source of his discipline and the secret formula for spiritual healing. Jesus, the witness, closes with this incredible invitation to Laodicea, which has locked God out. Millennials have, according to statistical Barna research, literally closed their minds to God and the Bible and any kind of biblical worldview. They're antagonistic and repulsed by spiritual things. Cancel culture, they say. But no, Revelation 3:20 says, listen up, behold, I stand at the door and knock. In Greek, that's in the present tense. He's right here, right now. I'm constantly knocking on your heart's door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. Laodicean millennials have literally and legally and socially locked God out, cancel culture. But Jesus, he's at the door, standing, waiting, knocking. He never forces his way in. Through this devotional message, this very moment, he's patiently knocking. The choice to open is up to you. He's at the door. Now, at the door in Scripture shows the nearness of Christ's return. It's closing time, friend. Millennials, in today's stormy culture with no biblical worldview, cancel culture, and parents of millennials who help make them that way. Children of millennials who hear this invitation, it's still not too late. Open the door. Invite Jesus in. Open his holy word. Read his word. Because he is the word. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. He's knocking, listening for your slightest response. You're moving to unlock the door and let him in. Will you? Right now. Today. Say yes to Jesus. The choice is up to you.